Right, we're working with Elisha the prophet. Chapter 5 of 2 Kings. That's a very interesting chapter because we're dealing with Elisha working with a man who was Israel's enemy, really. The army leader of the king of Assyria. Well, this man's name was Naaman, and he was the captain of the army of Syria. He was an incredible army general. He was as tough as goat's knees, and he was great at leading men, and he was a strong and proud man. But he had one thing in his life that really made him sad. Do you know what it was? He had leprosy. And wait, I'm not sure exactly what strain of leprosy, but he had blotches on his skin and puckery-looking things over him, and all sorts of horrible stuff happened to your body with leprosy. And so even though he was so successful and such a proud, conquering general, he had this one thing that really upset him really bad. Well, in his household, they had a little servant girl. And the servant girl looked after Naaman's wife. So she, I'm not sure what all she did. Well, the servant girl had come from Israel, and she knew about Elisha and the God of heaven. And in her innocence, I don't know how old she was, she might have been a wee bit older than you, possibly. If she was good at doing dishes, she'd have to be a bit older, wouldn't she? Perhaps. Yeah. Well, this little girl saw how her mistress was Naaman's wife, and how Naaman was so sad because he had leprosy. And so one day she just said, "If only you could go back to Israel, Mr. Naaman. I know a man there, Elisha, and he could heal your leprosy." That was an incredible thing for this little girl to say. I don't know whether she had ever heard of anyone being healed of leprosy or not. But she knew about Elisha, and at least in her little mind, she felt Elisha, with the power of God, could do anything. So she assumed that healing a bit of leprosy wouldn't be too big a problem. And so they prick up their ears at this. Could my leprosy be healed? And so Naaman hears this from this little girl through his wife, and he goes to the king of Syria and says, "This little girl says there's somebody back in Israel in Samaria who could heal my leprosy." And the king's so pleased with Naaman, and he's such a good army general, he wants to do anything he can. He says, "Well, look, if there's any chance of that happening, you go. Go right now and go and see if it can happen. What's more," he says, "I'll write you a letter to the king of Israel, and so that when you get there, you've got the authority from me, the king of Syria, to the king of Israel, and I'll tell him that he should be healing you." So Naaman headed off. But he thought, "Well, I'm asking a pretty big favor, so I should take some prizes or some treasures with me." And so he loaded up horses and chariots and donkeys and mules, and he had 340 kilograms of silver and 70 kilograms of gold, and he had 10 whole sets of clothes, of royal clothes, that he was going to give as a gift if this man could heal his leprosy. So he heads in. He doesn't know where he's going, really, except to Israel, and he's going to go to the king of Israel. And the letter gets to the king of Israel just as he comes, and the king of Israel opens it up, and it's from the king of Syria, who's his enemy, And it's saying, I've sent this joker down for you to heal his leprosy. Wow, he said, heal leprosy? Who do you think I am? Do you think I'm God that I can just heal leprosy? And then he thought, this guy's just looking for a fight. He's trying to ask me to do something that's impossible. And he tore his clothes and was in total distress. He thought, what on earth's going on? There must be some sort of trick. And then Elisha gets wind of what's happening. And he said, you shouldn't have torn your clothes. And I think that's because his mother said you shouldn't tear your clothes. So he said to the king, you shouldn't tear your clothes. My mum taught me you shouldn't do that. But he said, what say you send the guy to me? And so the king of Israel was pretty relieved to get him off his doorstep, and he sent him to Elisha's house. Well, Naaman, because he was an army general, he was in chariots that they used in the war. He had horses and chariots and people and donkeys and soldiers, and so he made a pretty impressive cloud of dust when he was shifting. And so he screeched up outside of Elisha's house and the cloud of dust and all his dignity and all his entourage. And Elisha is doing his morning devotions and reading his coffee. You drink coffee. He's reading his devotions and drinking coffee. And he knows that this great important man's outside the door. And without stopping reading and still drinking his coffee, he says to Gehazi, pop out the door, would you, mate, and tell that joker to go and dunk himself 7 times in the Jordan River. He didn't even get up from the table, didn't even put his coffee cup down. And so Gehazi goes out and says, my master tells you to dunk yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Well, Naaman has a meltdown. I'm an important man. Everybody bows and scrapes to me. I've come here in all my dignity and I'm an army captain and everything else, and this clown won't even come out the door and talk to me. I expected that he'd come out and he would say magic words and flap his arms around and do a dance and do all sorts of stuff, and in a great flurry he would heal my leprosy. And he just told me to go and dunk myself in a dirty river. And he said to his mates, I've had enough of this sort of mockery, I'm going home. And I think he thought there was a ceremony they did which they was called a cleansing ritual in the river. And he said, if I'm going to dunk myself in any rivers, I'll go back home because the rivers are cleaner there. Because they didn't have dairy farms, perhaps. I'm not sure about that. But And so he said, well, I'm going home, and if I have to dunk myself anywhere, I'm not going in that stupid Jordan River. I'll go in my own rivers. Well, his servants had a wee bit more common sense than Naaman did, and so they said to him, he hasn't really asked you to do a real hard thing, has he? And what say you do it? And he said, they said to him, he did say that if you do it, it will take your leprosy away. So it's not going to cost you much just to turn your chariot round, go over to the Jordan and dunk yourself 7 times. And in the end, Naaman did that. And he put himself in that river 6 times. And when he come up the 7th time, all his blotchy skin was changed. And it says that he had a skin, we say, as soft as a baby's bottom. He had skin as soft as a baby. Instead of being an old leather neck like me with blotches all over his skin and disease and stuff, his skin was like a little child. It's interesting, and we probably shouldn't push this too hard, but in the evening we've been talking about new birth. When that man went into the River Jordan, he was an arrogant, proud, pagan man. And when he came out of the Jordan, he was like a little child in many ways. And he came to Elisha and he said, I'm going to tell people that there's no God in the world except the God of Israel. And I think, again, I don't understand the original languages, but it was a little girl that told Naaman where to go and get healed. And when a little child, and when Naaman comes up out of that river, he's described as having skin like a little child, and he professed the living God. Perhaps I should say this for the adults to keep them thinking. Jesus quotes this exact thing that we're talking about when he starts his ministry, and the people of his town are going to chuck him out. And he says, in days of old, when the prophets of God were rejected by their people, just like Elisha, they went to other people. And Jesus said, There was tons of leprosy people around in the days of Elisha. And he said to the people of Nazareth, Jesus healed one of them. And he wasn't even a Jew. He wasn't even an Israelite. He was a Syrian. And even in that, we see something of what Logan was talking about last night, and it's a mission to the world. There's missions. There's missions in the story, right? I'm not meant to be preaching, I don't think, or will. Naaman came back so delighted. He came to Elisha's house, and this time Elisha came out to talk to him. And remember, Naaman had all this loot, silver and gold and king's clothes, and he said to Elisha, well, accept some of this loot, have the whole lot of it. And Elisha said, no way, I'm not taking anything, I want nothing. And he could have perhaps said, it didn't even cost me anything, I didn't even come out to talk to you, did I? I just carried on drinking my coffee. But that wasn't part of it. I think he was meaning that the God of heaven has done this, not me, and you keep all your loot. And so in the end, Naaman said, well, I really want to serve your God now. My whole heart has changed. And I'm not happy with the idols that we serve back in here. And so he said, at least give me 2 mule loads of dirt, of your dirt. And I think he said, I'm only going to serve the God of Israel, and so I want to take a bit of Israel back with me. And I'll use this bit of Israel for making an altar. And I think with the dirt he would have made mud bricks to make an altar, and he says, I'll only be offering sacrifices to your God. And he knew that he was going back into pagan worship, and some of you will see in there, he said, and please forgive me when I have to go into the house of Rimmon, because of that's what our country does. It's an interesting one. I won't go further there either, or I'll be preaching, but right. So he says, Elisha says, no gifts, and so Naaman goes home with all his loot plus 2 mule loads of dirt. Well, Gehazi the servant, his eyes nearly popped out when he saw that loot in the first place, and he's thinking quite hard and thinking, I'm sure that joker would give me some of that stuff if I just asked him, and if I could do it without Elisha knowing, I could get pretty rich, I think, and that guy wouldn't miss it, and Elisha wouldn't know, and we'd all be happy. So as Naaman headed away, there was a hill that rose over, the road went over a hill from Elisha's house and disappeared. And once he had disappeared, Gehazi snuck out, and he thought, I'm going to catch up on this fella. So he looked sort of innocent as he was heading away till he got over the hill. And then he pulled his shorts up and tucked his shirt in and went like the clappers, and he caught up with Naaman and his chariots. And Naaman saw this guy gasping and wheezing up behind him, And so he stopped his chariot, and Gehazi said, and he lied through his teeth. He said, "My master has changed his mind. Two prophets have come out of the hill country, and he wants to give them something. So could you please give me a talent of silver and two changes of clothes?" And Naaman said, "By all means. Why don't you..." No, he said, "One talent of silver..." "One talent of gold," he asked for. And Naaman said, "By all means, have two. And two lots of clothes." And he said, "And what's more, that's a lot of stuff. I'll give you a couple of servants to carry it back for you to your house." And Gehazi thought, well, that was really good. He's getting there. But he thought, I can't march back into Elisha's house with it. He didn't know I'm here. And so as the men walked down carrying all his loot back, he thought, I've got somewhere I can stash this on this side of the hill, and then I'll come back and get it later. And so he said to the servants, "We'll just stash this in here, and you guys go back to your master, and I'll pop back and see Elisha." Well, do you think Elisha knew what was happening? Gehazi didn't think he did. So do you think he did? Do you think he did? Do you think Elisha knew? Yeah. And you'll see there that he says, "My heart was with you when you met Naaman off the chariot." And he said to Gehazi, "Because of what you've done, and you've lied to me and been devious, the leprosy that was on Naaman will now be upon you and your family." And Gehazi became a leper. And again, if I can make a simple little application, it reminds me of Judas. Gehazi had been with Elisha now for a long time and done a lot of wonderful things in the service of God. And he thought he could make money out of it, and his heart wasn't really changed. And we think of Judas, who was a disciple of Jesus for 3 years and did miracles and preached in Jesus' name, and thought he could make a buck out of selling Jesus and pinching stuff out of the treasury. And there's a horrible lesson in that, that we can be... Well, right, I'm preaching again. So we'll just finish. I had to finish with a story about the axe, because I love axes. And I don't know whether anyone else here loves axes, but I have this axe like that so that I can carry it my horse in the bush. Well, the last story we want to deal with is that, because Elisha's great at doing miracles. That's a good axe. It's a 4.5 pound. That's a good chopping axe. Elijah's great at doing miracles about putting stuff in the water and making things right. Remember, he did that at the start, put salt in the well and made the water right to drink. He chucks meal in a stew and makes the stew good to eat. Well, when we get to chapter 6, and we'll just leave it there, is that the prophets that he's working with, the number's getting too big and they need to make some new quarters. And so, being very practical men, and that's wonderful, be practical, they each take an axe and they go down to the River Jordan and pick a log and fell trees to make beams. And so one man, he didn't have an axe, and so he borrowed it. And he borrowed an axe off a man. If that man was like me, he's quite keen on protecting his axe, and he's got it nice and sharp and done a lot of work on it. And as the man was chopping, I have to watch, I'll take somebody's kneecaps off. As the man was chopping, what happened? Somebody tell me? The head flew off. And about finished, so that can stay off probably. These things are hard to put on. The head flew off. And even this one here, when I'm doing a lot of chopping, that'll start to move back in. It needs tightened up a bit. And the head flew into the Jordan River. And Elisha was there with the felling thing, and he said, the man said to Elisha, "Oh no," he said, "the head's flown off my axe. And what's more," he said, "it wasn't my axe. I borrowed it off this mate, and he told me to be real, real careful with it, and I promised him I'd be real careful with it, and the head's flown off, and it's dropped in the bottom of the Jordan River." And he was a mess. And it makes it worse when you lend things. I lent the cook my big steak cutting knife, and he said, "Can I hang on to it?" And I said, "Well, as long as you don't let any kids have it, then you're protected." And he promised he would look after it. Well, that's what this guy had done with the axe. And so what did, can somebody tell me what Elisha did? What did Elisha do? How did he do it? Right, he said, "Where did the axe head fall in?" And the guy said, "Just there." And Elisha took his axe, cut a stick, a piece of wood like this, and he threw a piece of wood just where it fell in, and the wood was floating there, and whoop, the steel axe head floated to the surface. And Elisha said to the guy, "Right, you pick it up and stick it back in the tent, and be more careful next time." Right, next time. Our Heavenly Father, we're intrigued with Elisha healing a man from a foreign country who was even one of their enemies. And we praise you, O God, that your mercy ultimately goes to the furthest ends of the earth, and that even Naaman was blessed through Elisha. We think of Gehazi, and it makes us really sad that he could be part of it, and yet his heart could still be focused on himself. And we just pray that you would preserve us for being like that. And Lord, we just praise you.